I'll make my sermon pretty quick here today. The reason I picked this sermon was because of John Dival, to honor him, and because John Dival is a worker, okay? The guy, whether it was mowing the lawn or fixing something, he was right there. I mean, one time my kids were stranded on the side of the road, and we didn't know who else to call. We said, John, maybe John can help. And he was over there and put some stuff in the liquid in the radiator and got our kids home safely. So you've always been there, and he's a worker. So and that's just what this message is about. It's about repairing things. What else could it be about? After I had Blake read 16 verses, actually there's 32 verses in there, and it continues to say over and over again the word repair, or to build, or to rebuild, or to lay its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. By the way, I want to say that many of you people here in the church are strong, good workers. You know, I mean, whether it's putting the back door on the parsonage or doing Sunday school, I mean, what can I say? I'm very impressed, inspired by you folks. But I grew up on a farm, right? And there was always things broken on the farm, it seemed like. Whether it was the fence was down, so you had to, you know, repair the fence so the cows didn't get in the corn, or the combine broke down and you had to fix that. And it always broke down at the most inopportune time, right? It's always right when the crop was ready to be brought in, or you're trying to get the hay in, and then you get a flat tire on the wagon. These things, I mean, it just becomes part of the way things operate there. But Dad was always good about fixing things. Sometimes he would tell me to fix things, and I would not be very good at it, okay? Probably because he could always fix things, and I couldn't, okay? And I tried to be better at it, but not so good. But the point I want to make here today is that it takes all kinds and a concerted effort to get things done. You know, when we talk about John Dival moving, he's moving to another part of the wall. Okay? He was with us. He's building side by side, shoulder by shoulder, building a family of God here. Now he's going to go to Cass City, and he'll find his place on the wall. Johnny will find his place on the wall too. And they will continue on in faithfulness. Even among a ridicule. Now Nehemiah, when he was trying to muster the troops to do the building, it wasn't without opposition, was it? I mean, the neighbors were laughing and ridiculing at them, probably because they saw the task and it looked like it was overwhelming. And they said things like, "What is this that you're doing? And are you rebelling against the king?" So, we always have opposition, don't we? When we're trying to build the kingdom of God. Because we're fighting for the good, right? But the evil is right there trying to dissuade us from doing that. So, and sometimes that evil is on the outside. Sometimes it can be on the inside. Sometimes there's an opposition on the inside to move forward in some way. So just keep that in mind. Did Nehemiah and those guys have good neighbors? Not really. Remember this TV show, Tool Time with Tim Allen? He always had the neighbor that looked over the fence, and they always had a conversation, it seemed like, at the end of the episode. And it was always encouraging. Nehemiah's neighbors weren't like that at all. They were always throwing insults at him. But so Nehemiah motivated the people, and they were from diverse regions of the They were from diverse regions. They had diverse professions. How do you like that? One of them, the perfumers, were out there building the wall. You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, God hasn't given me that gift or that ability. Well, I don't think the perfumers probably were that good with a hammer and saw or anything like that, but yet they went out there and did that. There were district leaders. So when I think of district leaders, I think of politicians. They were working on the wall. And maybe they were there for more than just the photo op. You know how politicians are? They like to go out there and scoop up the first scoop of dirt, and they cut the ribbon and say, yeah, we're, you know, but then you never see from them again. But these workers were out there. What about Malchicha, he was the one, he was downwind from the city dump, and he was building that section of the wall. He had a pretty prominent position. He probably could have paid somebody off and said, hey, I really don't want to be assigned that section of the wall because it's right by the city dump, and that's not going to be very nice. But he did it anyway. I'm reminded of my Uncle Ron. He worked at a trade school. He was a teacher. He taught people blueprint reading and that sort of thing and design stuff. But every summer, like clockwork, he would come out to our farm, and he had a lot of bad allergies, and yet he would still get up into the haymow and start helping me stack the bales. And it was pretty amazing because his eyes would swell shut, and he's sneezing all the time, and he could barely breathe, and yet he was a real trooper when it came to helping out. So we also learn in this section that not everyone participated. There were some who refused. They thought they were, you know, they were called the royals, okay? And they didn't want to, as the Hebrew language says, they did not want to put their neck to the service of their Lord. So they refused to help. And so that means some of the commoners in that group, they had to do twice as much work. Now that's not very good for community relations, is it? If some people refuse to work and the other people, Casey tells me about times where he's at his job, and he tells me about how sometimes these people are not, you know, pulling their own weight. And that can be troubling. But how are we as the church? We have to work together, don't we? To do what God has called us to do. And the important thing is we have to serve for God's glory, not our own agenda, right? Paul writes about that in Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body. So first of all, we have to remember that the church work is God's work. Okay? All parties need to be reminded that ultimately God is in charge of the church. It's not me, it's not the deacons, it's not the trustees. We are here to build the kingdom of God, and we look to Him for direction and guidance and provision, really. And so we do everything for His glory, not our own agenda. Okay? Number two, Christ's plan is to appoint leaders to run the church. That needs to be affirmed as well. So we got to understand the how the operation is supposed. God gives us, as it says, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and He also gives us other people like people who are good with the books and people who understand, you know, facility, how to manage the facility and how to, you know, run the office. So He gives us each gifting and abilities so we can do, as it says here, so that the people of God can do the work of the Lord. But those things have to be agreed upon. God is in charge, and He appoints the leaders, and we have to look at our own our motivation and ask us, why are we helping out? Are we doing it somehow just to pat ourselves on the shoulder and say, look at me, I helped out the community? No, it should be about promoting God's kingdom and His church. I'm just kind of skimming here. So when we work in the church, let us remember our motivation must be pure. Why are we doing this? Look at Llewellyn here. Llewellyn is a wonderful worker in the children's Sunday school. Her heart is that these young ones would come to a knowledge of Christ in their lives, to have salvation, and to grow them up. That is a wonderful and a beautiful motivation. What about the hype band, where they come up here and they work and they, you know, they practice and they come together and they practice their songs? They're leading us in worship, so that we would be drawn closer to the Lord. God tells us we are to worship Him. He is worthy of our worship. And so they are leading us in that through song. And that's just one way to worship. And we're appreciative of them. So, but here's the thing. The work of God happens when the people of God work. The work of God happens when the people of God work. God has, His plan is that the church would be, as it says in the Bible, the co-laborers with Christ. And it's really about helping to reconcile the world to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, that is the mission of the church. And so we, as Christians and members and people of this church, we are the church, That is our goal. God chooses to work through those who belong to Him and respond to His direction. So we need to keep our ears open and what God would have us do. Remember the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and also the 72 who Jesus sent out to heal the sick. We can be assured that just like that, when God worked through them, He wants to work through us today. So this should motivate us, God, to stay busy in God's business. We have an important message to bring to the city of Elmont, to the county of Lapeer, to the state of Michigan, and wherever else God might call us to support missionaries around the world. Notice that in the reading, both genders were involved, from various occupations, diverse locations, and social classes. So they were all about the restoration project of the Jerusalem walls. I'm always impressed when you ever see the videos or where the Amish are building a barn, the barn raising. It's so fascinating to see how the timing, the precision, the efficiency, them all working together to bring that structure, to bring that structure up to its finished result. It's neat to see. And as pastor, I need to guide and direct in the process in the church building. And sometimes I think we have a difficult time thinking, where do I fit in on the wall? That's the thing, you know, like they were shoulder to shoulder, each were given a section. You know, the nice thing about that is there was like a beginning date and an end date. They did the whole thing in 50 some days, okay? But it's kind of nice to know, it's like, okay, I'm starting this project and it should be over at such and such a time. That's always good to have that, but couple of things to keep in mind here. Pray for God's guidance. If you're wondering where you're supposed to be on the wall and you don't know, ask God to help show you that. Also, look around. God calls us to ministries maybe that are right in front of us that we have not even noticed before. Consult Christian friends. Maybe your friend is involved in something. I really appreciate, for example, I'm going to use my family as an example again, but like Casey and Lily, how they took it upon themselves to start a Bible study in the public school after school. And, you know, Lily was really good about bringing treats. Okay. And Casey's good about, you know, helping get the lesson developed. And others come together and they have a time of just, encouraging one another in the faith. And I didn't tell them, hey, you got to do that. They just picked that up. They saw the need, and they said, I'm going to do that. And so many of you folks here have done exactly that, whether it's the sign out front, whether it's the landscaping, whether the decorations or the cleaning, working in the nursery or the junior church or in the kitchen. I mean, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here because you guys are so good at this. But also follow your heart. What is your... Not to say that our heart is infallible. We, you know, our heart can take us on different places it probably shouldn't go. But the passion, the compassion, these things can help us, you know, where we might want to serve in the church. Don't rule that out, okay? God intends to work in this world through us. That's His plan. If we have a desire to see God's name be glorified and to be praised, then that's enough motivation right there to want to work in God's church. A lot of times, you know, if you watch any commercials on TV, it's all about, you know, building your own little kingdom, right? You know, you want your house perfect, you want the decorations, you want the landscaping perfect, you mean all this stuff, and that's good, I guess. But if we could take some of that energy and effort that we put into that and put it into the church, wow, that would make an extreme, a great impact. But a lot of times we get so tunnel vision about kind of our own little kingdom. You know, maybe if we can kind of expand that a little bit and see how we can be involved in the church. And like I said, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but we labor in different ways. How about as parents? As grandparents, as church workers. I mean, there's so many ways we can help the kingdom of God. We want to be communicators of God's love and truth, right? God's message of forgiveness. So I'll close with this. And this is kind of, this is the scriptures. It says, as you come to Him, the living stone, I think this is from 1 Peter, rejected by, speaking of Christ, He was rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, His Son was, and you also are like Him in that you are living stones, and we are being built into a spiritual house, it says, into a holy priesthood. And you remember the idea of the priesthood? The priest is like the mediator between God and man. And so we are holding something. We are trying to help man. We're trying to persuade men that they ought to be reconciled to God. And we do that through sharing the gospel. So be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged, huh? Maybe this message is not, it's not, you know, maybe it has something to do with the annual business meeting coming up too, but be encouraged, because like the wall of Jerusalem, it once laid ruins, in ruins, okay? But it was restored. We are being restored. We are being built up. We are to be a house strengthened by God's Spirit. And we do that so that we can praise Him, because He is the one who has called us. Just like He called us out, He called those folks out of exile back to the promised land. He is calling us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So think about that things, and where is your part of the wall? Okay?